Chapter 6, A Steekit Chest. The men were speaking as they came in. "I don't see the point of coming back here. We've looked everywhere, obvious already," the first thing said. "Exactly. We've searched in all the obvious places. Now we need to check all the other places. It must be round here somewhere," the second thing said. His voice was louder and deeper than the first thing, and it sounded like he was in charge. "All I know is we're not leaving here till we find it, even if it means ripping this place apart. Nobody could have seen us coming here with this weather. And besides, it's the middle of nowhere, so we've got all the time we need. You search in the sitting room. I'll take the dining room."
"But Carl, I've already searched it yesterday and..."
"Just do as you're told," the heading replied, and the bairns heard the footsteps gaan left and right into the twa muckle front rooms they were been in just nae time afore. For the next 20 minutes, they heard what sounded like heavy things being dragged out of the floor and some kind of hammering noise coming from in of the rooms. They were the occasional shout for in of the men, but they couldn't make out what they were saying. George pulled Pennywise up a Robbie's jacket, making him turn to face him. "Why do we no sneak out of wa no while they're busy?" he hearkened. "We'd never get past the windows without being seen." Robbie's voice was as quiet as a moose. "We'll hit a bite where we are." He scouted by George and saw Kirsty looking up, her muckle blue een wide open. They kind of gammed at one another, and Robbie held his finger up to his mouth for them to keep quiet. The boosting about to the twa rooms eased, and Carl and the titter man came back into the lobby. Robbie, George and Kirsty froze again, hoping they wouldn't come any closer to the kitchen.
"Right, we're running out of time, Malcolm. We have to get what we're here for fast. We only have 2 days left to do it."
"You think I don't know that?" said Malcolm. "The boss has been breathing down my neck too, you know. You sure it's not in the building at the bottom of the garden?"
"I'm pretty certain it isn't," the deeper voice of Carl replied. "The information we were given is that it's in this house, somewhere. There's something we're missing, and we need to find it. The guy said it was on the ground floor, so no point looking upstairs, which is a good job looking the state of them. Hey, I don't remember that step being broken yesterday, was it?"
The bairns een whined as they minded George putting his foot through the step and how the stool it was cast.
"I can't remember. I didn't make a mental note of everything broken in here," said Malcolm.
Footsteps in the lobby.
"This is recent. Look at all the fresh dust and wood that's been exposed. Somebody has been here since we were here yesterday."
Carl was noticed it, and George felt awful for fooling about earlier about the stairs.
"I doubt it, Carl," the other fellow said. "Who on earth would come here? It's probably been a sheep or a polecat. Blimey, look at the state of them. A mouse could bring that down."
"I suppose," Carl said. "Like the rest of this house, the stairs are on the verge of collapse.
Okay, so we've got to keep searching. If we don't find it, we're not going to get the money. What about here under the stairs?"
Robbie moved his head the piriest bit to see if he could just teep around the jamb of the door at what they were doing. As he moved, George raised just a corner hand him, for he was been sitting up on his hookers all the time and his legs were starting to get numb. He was never noticed that he was been lying for next a piece of wood leaning against lang the wa. As he moved, had started to slide, gathering wide and fan faster and faster, making a scraping noise as it fell, clattering onto the floor aside them. They froze in fear as they watched it slide, feeling helpless to stop it. The douche of it landing made a most awful noise through the house. For a split moment that seemed to last an hour, they looked at one another. They were no wide that the men wasn't ahead.
"What on earth was that?" one of them said for the lobby.
Robbie rose to his feet and George and Kirsty followed suit.
"Run!"
Robbie roared as they made for the side kitchen door that led outside the why they were come in. As they lifted it, George shoved the door into the lobby, jamming it nearly shut. He was to hit Misty out the door, just as Robbie and Kirsty was gripping hard of their bikes.
"Hey, you little brats, get back here right now," came Carl's voice from inside. "Don't you dare run away."
"Come on, let's get out of here," Robbie said to the other twa, checking out his shoulder to see George running away his bike and swinging his leg over the seat to get moving. Kirsty was already getting a wipe on her.
I said, get back here now. You have no right to be here.
The voice was still coming from inside, for the side door was jammed and they would take a bit of time to win round to the front door.
Come on, Robbie shouted. Keep pedalling. We had to get out of here before they went after us.
They were stonking up the brae, the fair and excitement making them pedal like fury. The ha was just getting out of sight of the mist when they heard the reins of the van engine starting with a lot of throttle and the skirting were getting in reverse.
No, Kirsty said, we're never getting to make it out the road now.
Robbie Kent, she was right. There were no way they could win out the road and a while before the van got to them. They would have to do some fast thinking.
Quick, you twa, follow me, Robbie roared to hunt them. Turning right after the road and onto the gears, he cycled the ground and swung after the bike and started running with it, pushing the bike before him. He scouted over his shoulder and saw George and Kirsty doing the same, both right to the face. Through the glare of the mist, they heard the roars of the van's engines climbing the brae, getting closer, but it was hard to tell how far away it was.
Lie still.
Just dump the bikes about the ground and lie flat, Robbie told the other twa.
Nothing was moving, either as the back wheel still spinning on Kirsty's bike. They lay the wheat gears fairly still, looking in the direction of the gravelly road. With the engine noise at its loudest, they could just make out the shape of it going by, then disappearing into the mist. With the runks of the potholes and under the wheels, they could tell they were going at a lick.
They didn't see us, George begged. They're going right by us. That was quick thinking Robbie to come off of the road, otherwise they would have gotten us.
Again, there were nothing either we could have done, Robbie said slowly, getting his breath back. What on earth going on? Kirsty was lying next to them, her head still muddling after all that was happened in the headmost 5 minutes.
Robbie, I hate this. Can we gang home? You know what I mean? It's gluff me stupid. I don't think what we're doing, but I just want to gang home.
She sat up as if to gang. Nah, Robbie yogged her arm. We'll have to sit still until the red deader come back or till there had enough time to get away.
George, what things do is going on? What was it they were speaking about?
I don't again, it's all very peculiar. I'm still trying to take in what they were saying and full close we were to being catched.
He was sitting up, you know. I'll tell you one thing, they're no here to paint phone boxes, that's for sure.
I wonder what on earth they're seeking.
I wish we had heard mair afore they fan was, Robbie said, the excitement still in his voice.
George looked a bit down at that, kenning it was because of him being clutched and knocking the widower that they got fan out.
I ken, I'm sorry, you twa. I should have been mair careful.
Dus right, Robbie. We'll have to try and find out mair.
We're no gaan back doon yondru, Kirsty spake up. Or at least I'm no. You twa can do what you want. I dinna want to gang in yondru ever again.
Dinna worry, Kirsty. We're no gaan back in the night.
No, we yon twa main chasing afterwards.
What were they get? Carl and Malcolm?
Will you think about this?
The three of them bade where they were for about half an hour, although they stood up after a start and sat about their bikes, for the girls were sogging. They didn't mind being weak, though, for they were that muckle despicable and that muckle excitement that they hardly noticed. They keep their voices low, but every now and again they would get louder as they pat forward their ideas about what was going on.
Shh, Robbie said at that point when George was getting brawly loud. Keep thy voice down, George.
For all that we came, they might have parked up out by and wandered in the road looking for us.
They fell silent when he said that, for they can't, he was right. They could see it would be a pity to get away the first time and then get catched just for being silly.
They were nae why they would get away for them, although they had start this time.
After nearly an hour was gone by and there were nae sign of the men of the van coming back, they thought it was time to head home, for it was getting late.
Can we no just ging over the hill, say they'll no fin was if they come back, George said to Robbie.
No, I think we better stick to the road, for if we ging over the hill with a mist, we might just ging round in a muckle circle and wha kens where we might end up. If we hear yon van coming, we'll just have to do the same again and tack to the hill.
Gyan back
Over the road was the chance of coming across the Twa Main was a brawly, fearsome tocht. For a' that, they wound back up at the Gravely Road and started cycling out, no saying muckle and keeping their looks open for the soon dawny vehicle. They were naebody aboot, and afore lang they were back up at the main road and felt a piece better as they made for hame. The mist was still thick, and we knew a heavy road was laid on. They were nearly to the height by the time they went to George's and brought up at the side of his father's pick-up. It was after 11 o'clock, but there were still lights on. "Is thy folk waiting up for thee?" Kirsty wondered, seeing that they weren't going to bed. "Nah, they never going to bed that early." "I wish we could say the same," Robbie said, and Kirsty nodded her head. "I doubt we'll be for the high jump when we went home this late. Still, that's worth it, I would say, his een lighting up." "Yeah, that it is, definitely," George agreed. "I cannae believe could be saying here tonight. We need to find out mair the morning." "That we will. I'll come along early in the morning if the wants, and we can plan where we go for here," Robbie said, already thinking about what they could do. "What about me?" Kirsty piped up, no wanting to be left out. "I'm better this too, am I no?" Robbie and George both looked at one another. "Yeah, of course do is," George grinned. "We don't want thee spilling the beans to anybody else about this." "Dinna worry," she said. "I'm as keen as you know to find out what's going on. So can I tag along with you?" She could see from the look about the boys' faces that they were all blithe to agree. "I think we should still keep this a' to ourselves," Robbie suggested. "Never say cloud to anybody. We need to work this out. And I dinna think we hae muckle time, for mind yon main said they only had 2 days left, so we'll hae a busy day the morn trying to get a step ahead of them." George and Kirsty agreed with him. They a' felt this was their own mystery, and they didna want anybody else tacking it away for them. Kirsty had just one question. "Does that mean we had to ging back to the Ha again? I dinna think I want to ging in there after tonight." "I doot will hate," said Robbie, "and forgaan to find out what they're looking for." "Hey, I ging," what George turned to them. "I had 2 walkie-talkies at the house. I could put them on the chairs tonight, and we could tack them to the Ha with us. Then Kirsty too could set out the road a piece, and that was kind of the van comes in the road. That would give us plenty of time to clear off before they went here." "That's a great idea, George," said Robbie. "Brilliant. That's what we'll do. I canna wait. Right, we better hate him, for it's getting brawly late now. We'll see to the morn's morning, George. It's going to be some day." With that, Robbie and Kirsty said their cheerios and got up with their bikes, pedalling home the road. The sky was lighting the grain, though they were still brawly wheat when they went to the house. They packed their bikes to the shade and made in through the grind and over the briggystanes to the front door. Through the butt window, they could see Beth their fox sitting with a cup of tea. Robbie checked his watch, then a sidewise scout at Kirsty, and she did the same, kinda that they could weave music to face with them being so lit. They laid after shoon of the porch, hanged their jackets up a bit of pegs, then stepped in by Pittywise. Robbie smoothed by the butt door, heading for the bathroom. He didn't get that far before he heard his mother. "Get in here at once, the pair of you," came her voice through the closed butt door. Robbie opened the door and got in, with Kirsty smoothing in a anthem. They stood up at the floor a moment while their mother reckoned to turn the sun down up at the wireless and raised her foot, a book fan off her lap as she stood. Their father set his book down and a' and turned to them, but baited his share. He looked like it was going to be a serious flighting. "Whaur ill health is the pair you been till this time?" she started. "You're later living high too. What are you been doing?" Kirsty kent to let Robbie do the speaking at times like this in case there were any awkward questions. "We're been up at George's, like I said we were gaan," he said, "and we're gotten shock at cycling hame with the drush." "Oh, I see, you were at George's," their mother said. "Say, what, why did his mother phone here for the dogs, wondering what time she could lappen him hame?" She folded her arms and waited for the answer. "Dash it," Robbie thought. He wasn't lappening that. He gave a quick look at Kirsty, and he could see for her face that she had nothing to come back with. "You needna look at in another," she got on. "Laura said she wasna seen any of you the hell night. Say, where are you been till noo? George will be getting a spick and tae for his folk too, so you better get your story straight." she said. They're doing the share again, but keeping looking at the pair of them. Will, Robbie said, he had to think upon his feet. We were just cycling around, not really doing anything in particular, just out on our bikes. In this weather, his mother cut him off. Why did you bide out a night in this? Dunna lie to me, Robbie. I would rather ken what you were up to than hear you lie. I'll no hear that. Robbie let out a sigh, realising it was best to come clean, although he didn't think there were anything wrong with what they were doing. Will Nobby came up to the hard list, but he wouldn't say anything about what was happened there. We were up at the old laird's ha. We'd never been there afore and thought we would ging in the ride for a look. That was a. The old ha! His mother's tone changed a peery bit. I'm told you both afore to bite clear of that place. You had nae need to ging there. What sent you in there this night? I hope you didn't ging inside it. Is this George that's come up with this idea? I dunna want you gang there again. You hear me? Robbie noticed his father lifting his brows again when the ha was mentioned. It wasn't George's idea, just was ah. What's the big deal with it anyway, he asked, a bit bolder now that he'd said where they were been. It's only an old hoose, and we didn't brack anything, and couldn't win in anyway, for the doors was jammed. He talked to her no point saying or muckle. That's not the point, she could on. I'm said afore that I dunna want you gyan there, and for you to drag Kirsty with you too. You're not to ging back there again, you hear me? There's nothing there that you need to see. Robbie could tell by the way she said it that she meant it, but at the same time he thought it kind of odd that she was making second a big thing of it. Robbie and Kirsty both apologised for leaning and for going to the ha, but Robbie couldn't help but wonder what it was about the ha that his folk didn't want him going there. There might be something about the place that he didn't care about. The mystery just seemed to get deeper and deeper. The pair you better get what your baits now, his mother said, setting her down again after the tully. Robbie, in the morning I wanted to ging down to thy grandmother's and paint her shade. It'll take the mist of the day, so you better get an early start. What? Robbie said, drawing down his brows. But me and George have plans for the morning. It's the holidays. Well, you can just unmake your plans and do whatever it is another day. The morning does to help thy grandmother. But, ma'am, began Robbie, seeing their whole plan fan sundry afore his een. They only had 2 days to find out what it was your man was after, so they couldn't afford to lose a day, and there were going to be nae way out of this painting job. What a disaster! No buts, boy, I'm telling thee what they're doing, and that's that. Think o' the specksings for the night's peery ploy. She wasn't going to budge on this een. Specksings for what? Robbie asked. For leaning or for going up to the ha? His mother took a moment, then answered in a quieter voice. Both. Robbie looked at a sock as he turned and made out of the butt end and got to the bathroom to brush his teeth. He couldn't believe that their plan, this great adventure that could be afforded them, was going to be ruined. It was an awful vexation. He would do anything for his grandmother and was said he would paint the shade for her. But for her to hate to be the morn, the one day when he really wanted to do something either, something that exciting that the three of them would mind for years, he just couldn't believe it. Typical, he thought, as he got to bed and snuck at the light out.